Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Rotatoes, it's time for the next episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast. We're starting out on episode 2 right now, and I'm just going to give you a quick reminder that right now, over on the Rotating Heroes podcast Patreon, you will find also some recommendations from some other Patreons, which is the 12 Sided Studios Patreon, which is free and available for you at no extra cost, and the O's and Empires Patreon, which is another show, the IGM. And if you want to see me do a slightly more serious and scary and very different vibe to Rotating Heroes, then you should go and check that out. I'm very proud of that project. It is with the wonderful Tom McKay and Luke Dale from Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. They crush it, and I am very excited about it. Thank you so much for being here, for being a part of this community. You absolutely freaking rule. And without any further ado, I'm going to say, let's go ahead and get into this next episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast. Take it away, pass me.
And now presenting the Rotating Heroes podcast.
Welcome back to the Rotating Heroes podcast, everybody. My name is Jasper William Cartwright, and I am joined today by some really, really wonderful people who are maybe seeing some things that aren't actually there. Or not. Who knows? I don't know. Not me. Couldn't possibly know. Ed, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Ed. I'm seeing things that are definitely not there, but I am seeing three wonderful human beings that I'm very excited to play with again.
Oh. That's so nice. That's so nice. We're second wonderful human being. What's your name?
Oh, you're pointing.
There we go.
Hello.
There we go. One of you had to take it. One of you had to take it. I didn't know it was.
I'm not going to volunteer that I'm wonderful. Go away.
What's great is that on my screen, you were just pointing down at no one.
Me too.
Yes, same on my screen, actually.
Hello. I'm here and I see things all the time.
And I see dead people. And last but not least, another wonderful human being. That's so funny. Johnny's below us, below everyone.
No.
That's on the Zoom screen.
Oh, yeah, that's how fair enough.
But below no one in our estimations and love of
it.
Them.
Stop it.
It's Johnny Chiodini. Hi.
Hello, it's very nice to see you. I've seen too many things in general. Just, I've seen too much.
Including probably too much of me, because we were both just at World's Lair, like a lot.
So, we were, but no, it's always nice to see you.
Ah, shucks. Speaking of, actually, there is going to be an episode of Rotating Heroes, a live episode of Rotating Heroes that we recorded at World's Lair, which is going to be posted on the channel at some point, probably once this arc is over, I should imagine. But yeah, look out for that. It's going to be super fun. It was an absolute blast to record. I shall reveal nothing except for the cast, I guess, was Mark Humes, Alex Jordan, and Holly Bennett, so that I can't reveal, because that was already announced, so, and I will say nothing else. I'll say nothing else.
Yeah, like, social media doesn't exist.
Oh, yeah, that's so actually true. You probably already saw Ed. You probably already saw that Ed was in it.
Wait, I was in it?
Yeah, you were.
But that sounds like a good cast.
It was a really good cast until I got there. Anyway, yes, so we are back again for another episode. Just really quickly, it's been a minute since we've recorded, which is a shame and will not happen again. How's everyone doing?
Pretty good. Like burning out a little, but good. But we won't get into that. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah. Summer is dying. The teeth have fallen out of summer. My time is coming. I am in the ascendant. I can't wait.
Oh, yes.
I had such a difficult time with autumn because objectively autumn has the best branding of all the seasons.
Yes.
And I love it.
100%, yeah.
But I really dislike it not being summer.
Mm.
So it's like, I like it, and I also hate winter. So it's kind of like I'm coming out of my favorite thing, going into my worst thing, but objectively I'm kind of having a good time because it looks beautiful and there's spooky stuff. You know what I mean? It's really difficult.
Sun be gone, never to come again. I want to live in the darkness.
Autumn and winter, autumn and winter.
Yes.
I feel we're all like fall / autumn fashion people. Am I wrong in that? I get that.
Fashion-wise, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, yeah, I mean, clothing is so much better, when you can add more layers.
Yeah.
Coats and scarves and jumpers.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I hate shorts. Like, I hate myself in shorts. It's just not good.
I wish to break up the lines of my silhouette. I want no one to know what shape I am.
Yeah, I want to go, like, full Dune, but, like, how they describe it in the books, where it's just sort of really odd, pointy shapes coming out of random places covered in cloth. That's like, what I want
to do. And you want to be able to piss in your clothes as well.
Right? Yes, that would be great. Piss in my clothes and drink it. That would be wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Doy.
Save me so much time.
Wow.
Honestly, it would save me so much time, which, like, honestly, I'll take it. I honestly would take it. Okay.
Well, I'm recovering from a cold, so if I sound a little strange, that's why. No other reason.
No other reason. Well, talking of things being a little strange, why don't we go ahead and dive back into the Rotating Heroes podcast. A bit of a recap.
Deep Space Recap.
Hello, everyone. We are back with the Deep Space Dial here to tell you about some new people wandering our cosmic mystery we call Axis. That's right, we're back on the Silverhawk, who has got the wobbles. Down in her roots, Sprocket is giving her a cosmic spa rub, whilst the Navigator has reported that she's having some strange nightmares. A classic prelude to a sentient ship madness, aka find a beach, eat sand. Enter the little scuttlebutt, Maddox, who is controlled by the Sunbeam scientist Dr. Isla Kova. It's at this point that Hubert gets a ping, says the scout craft Bugsley is coming home, but wrong. Having shadowed the Shadesmar, now reading a strange semi-organic on board. So they immediately call for their new muscle, known as Ember, and the ramp drops, out rolls a talking head Lucian, plus some crispy parts of Brian, the strange robot crafted by the Turlet Company, who, once fixed, happens to give them a little piece of important information about what happened on board the Shadesmar, and why it won't be going on that voyage anytime soon. It's when they try to fix old Brian that they discover his dome is filled with Embrium from Sim. Then there happens to be a sidebar off to the side where Lucian, yep, the vampire, swears that he saw Ember dead. Like, ID'd by Tundra. So he's more than a little confused, but that's the least confusing thing that happens, as during a little bit of downtime, our friend Sprocket heads up to the tree and starts tinkering with a strange black hole inside of it. What happens next? Well, people start seeing weird visions, and Ember's arm starts to crack with little bits of golden light, which raises more questions than a Turlet family dinner. Where do we find ourselves now? Who could possibly say? All I know is we're going to be right there on hand to unravel this particular mystery. So, keep it tuned to the Deep Space Dial and roll high or roll into the void. So, we left off with some strange and profound mysteries hanging over the group. Having seen some strange things, maybe encountered some strange things. Even stranger, you all awaken in your beds. All of you having experienced something of an unsettling dream. Brian, you can always feel the dream slipping away from you as you try to recall it now. But you cannot forget the unmistakable buzzing sound that you heard emanating throughout your head. It's almost as though in the sort of few seconds it takes for you to fully come round, you can hear it still. But you do come around and you find yourself in a strange kind of basic quarters, a little bunk bed. You're on the top bunk, a room that you haven't been to before. You don't know how you got to this location. Ember, the same goes for you. You can feel that dream slipping away from you. Like, the longer you're awake, the less detailed it becomes. But you do remember so, so clearly the feeling of Tundra being just that little bit out of reach, just that little too far away from you. And finally, Sprocket, you remember desperately trying to fix something. However, it was when you were trying to help your friends that everything shifted. And nothing of that dream you can remember, but it's almost like when you wake up in the morning and then you go back to sleep, and then that dream that you have then, that, like, the 10 minutes that you're asleep is really, really vivid.
Mm.
You remember waking up in your bed, but yesterday, everything is exactly as it was yesterday. And what's weird is you remember going down to the docks and you see the Silverhawk in front of you, but you take a left and you greet another individual that you've never met before, but you seem to have some recollection or understanding with them. You pull up some information on a small little tablet with a screen on it. They let you on the ship, and the ship sets sail. And it's so strange because everything about that felt like it was yesterday. Everything up to the point where you didn't instead walk on the Silverhawk felt like it was yesterday. But anyway, you two come around and awaken. And I'll say at this point, a little bell in each of your rooms, just in the top right corner, it's a very small little bell, begins to ring as you're all summoned down to breakfast. Will you be making your way to breakfast, or is there somewhere else that you would all like to head?
I have an important question for you.
Please.
So Sprocket doesn't sleep in the bed in his cabin. Mm. He has a hammock that he sort of slings from the ceiling. It's just that's where he sleeps. That's where he, you know, no matter what ship he's on. Obviously, Sprocket being Sprocket, he needs to have a little ladder that lets him get in and out, that gets folded up and put away during the day. Is the ladder there this morning?
Interesting. I'm going to say, Sprocket, that you're not actually in your hammock. You're just in a bed.
What?
And you're like, I think all of you probably find yourselves on top of essentially like a maid bed. Like, you're not tucked in, you're not, you know, none of your sort of normal nighttime rituals have happened. You're just in bed.
What the?
You mentioned Brian was on a top bunk. As Brian, in a very rickety manner, begins to make his way down the ladder, is there anyone in the bottom bunk?
Roll me a dexterity now.
Come on, man. That'll be an 8.
I was kind of joking, but now it's funny that you've done it. Yeah, you fall. I'll say that you fall down the ladder, and you find there is someone. There is an individual on the bottom bunk. It is a sort of older looking Genasi gentleman with blue skin, called Kez Rallin.
I think immediately just falling down to the ground with just, oh! And one of his arms just, like, comes off and doo, 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 across towards the edge of the bed. Brian's just looking around and, where am I? What's going on?
Ah, you're right. It's just morning. Why are you... do you not know how to get out of bed?
Do you need that? Do you need me to pick that up? And he comes over and picks up your arm and tries to sort of stick it back on. He's not really sure. Like, the socket that he's seeing and the socket in your arm doesn't look like it matches. And he's just like, I'm just going to give this to you. That's all right.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you very much. And just taking a stick of gum out of the dungarees just immediately begins to, you mind chewing on this for a little bit?
Do I mind? Sure.
Yeah,
I've never been shut off for this this amount of time, so I don't really know. I've never experienced one of these before.
Hands the gun back to you.
Experience one of what? A ladder?
No, a freaking bed.
You've never been in a bed?
I never slept, so, and he's just, like, using the gum as adhesive and just, like, putting the arm socket back on, and yeah, there we go, good as new. what was the, bell about?
Hey, that's breakfast.
Cool.
Do you eat?
No.
Do you need oil or something?
You got any nuts, bolts, anything like that at all? Like a sort of trail mix kind of thing?
He immediately, like, reaches back for almonds tucked under his pillow and then is like, and then realizes that that's not the nuts you're talking about. He's like,
no, I don't. Sorry.
Hey, what about, there was a little, tiny, little, horn, very horny little guy. I think Sprocket.
Oh, hey, the one that took a shine to Ember. I should assume he's probably going to breakfast, no?
Cool, yes. Cool. I reckon he had a wrench. Okay, thank you very much. What was your name?
My name is Kez.
Kez, nice. Cool. Brian. Name's Brian. Here's my card. And just reaches into his dungaree and pulls out, like, a very oil-stained, very wrinkled business card and just presses it in.
Sort of... takes it like, okay, we're stuck on a ship for another week, but, you know, sure, I'll catch you around.
Cool. Brian, take a shine to me and I'll shine you, is the tag. Okay, cool, thanks. And just immediately making his way out the door, just knocks himself off and you just hear another, ah, oh, goddammit, and picking the arm up again, just walks off in search of Sprocket.
Yes, who is already, like, down at breakfast, or other folks still making their way?
Yeah, I always gotta have full breakfast.
I feel like Ember's there, like, early. Like, I feel like Ember's the kind of person to, like, get to breakfast early to, like, read the paper or something, right?
I rise with the sun.
Yeah, nice. The sun, Vega, is always out as you travel through space, but they, you know, they'll have, like, little shades on the windows so that it kind of replicates something of, like, a day-night cycle in the lower decks.
I rise with the simulation of the sunrise.
The goblin from earlier immediately is like, actually, the ship's not that advanced. And just like manually unclips the blinds and like raises them up individually down at breakfast. Can you, Josephine, please roll me a D12 and a D4, please?
Okay, the D12 is a 9 and the D4 is a 2.
Ooh, lovely. Okay. You see Dala. Dala, or as she is commonly referred to aboard the ship as Mother, she is a semi-organic looking tabaxi. So imagine a tabaxi, and if you were to see her from a distance, you would just think she was a regular tabaxi. But as you get closer, you realize that she doesn't actually have, you know, fur in the same way. She almost has these tiny little microfibery, like, kind of almost like shimmering sort of metal spines, which almost simulate that of hair. Oh. And she is the cook. She enters into the room carrying various pots and pans and big trays of food and starts placing them down each table and looks up at you and, oh, good morning.
Oh, gosh, let me help you with that.
Oh, no, please, honestly, you're absolutely fine. I just getting prepped for the day. Well, actually, I tell you what, if you wouldn't... There's actually a couple of utensils in the back. I didn't have enough hands for those. If you wouldn't mind grabbing them, that would be fantastic.
Oh, yeah. It would be my pleasure. Please allow me. And I'll go run off and grab whatever she needs.
She kind of is sort of... The two of you are kind of, like, filtering in and out and grabbing, you know, various pieces. She turns to you and says,
So, what brings you, brings you sailing on the open nebula?
Well, I guess. Just, you know, looking for some answers, I'm sure, same as most folk are that are wandering the skies.
Now, you have seen Mother do this before, but Mother kind of looks at you, places a hand on your shoulder, and she rolls an insight check.
Uh-oh.
She wants to try and determine what is your favorite food.
Oh, okay. I don't hide that.
What is your favorite food?
Let's think. I feel like it used to be a really, like, cool watermelon sort of salad type thing, something that was really refreshing. But now it's like a hearty, warm stew to have in the cold that warms your spirit.
You see, as she picks up an empty bowl, and from the bottom of this bowl, this warm broth starts to fill. And then appearing, almost like in thin air just above the bowl, these little sort of chunks of meat and potato just slowly drift down and land into the bowl, making what can only be described as the most like Studio Ghibli-looking bowl of food that you've ever seen in your life. It looks like the absolute epitome of your favorite food stuff. And she looks at you and goes, I can't do that too often, so don't tell the others, they'll get jealous.
Oh, wow.
But I can feel it. There's something. And she just sort of gently taps at your sternum. Something in here that doesn't feel quite whole. I hope this helps.
Oh, Dale, thanks so much. Okay. Ember, like, wipes a tear from her eye and takes the bowl of soup and sort of just, like, holds it in and turns away to go, like, eat it in a corner.
The goblin catches you just as you're turning away and goes,
that's why we all call her mother. She does it to everyone, right in the feels.
Thank you, mother.
Anyway, is that your weird friend?
As sort of lumbering into the room is this very lanky, rusty, kind of completely shattering this moment of sort of blissful reflection.
Brian?
Just immediately stumbling in, and there is another do-do-do-do-do. Ah, God damn it. As just stepping over the threshold, just turns to look in the direction of you and your bowl. And sort of passing up towards Mother and at the kitchen, just looks past her towards another pot.
My favorite.
And immediately walks forward and picks up a pot and immediately just starts, arr!
How did you know? Yes. Oh, goodness. Oh, stainless steel? Anyway, how you doing?
Mother chuckles to herself, and like you see that she immediately turns around to like her stock form and just like crosses out all of her stainless steel pans.
It was Ember, right?
Yeah, Brian, right?
Yeah, Brian, how you doing?
Oh, you know, I'm all right. Bit of a strange night, I think. How about yourself?
Yeah, fine. I think something after yesterday was kind of, I don't know, I hear this, like, tinnitus kind of thing. It's like, I don't know. That's, I've never slept, so that might be it.
Oh, wow, but you slept last night?
I think so, or someone shut me off, I don't know.
Oh, here, let me have a listen. If I put my ear to his head, do I hear anything?
Go ahead and roll me a perception check.
Nat 20, 29.
Ooh, this is interesting. As you place your ear to the side of this machine's head, I think that you sort of intrinsically feel the sort of rhythm of this person. Slightly out of kilter, slightly as though missing every sort of an abnormal number of beats every so often. But unmistakably, there is a ticking and a whirring of a machine. But you can also hear this living, strange living metal, which seems to move and vibrate and echo the very distinctive, very, very distinctive sound. Possibly something that you've never even heard before. And it's almost as though the living metal is slightly at odds with that sort of ticking clock-like noise that you get, like this sort of noisy machinery of Brian is almost slightly at odds with this very graceful living metal that seems to sort of swirl and hum in its own unique way. And with a nat 20, I'll also say that you hear the little pitter-patter of feet.
Feet?
As the third your adventuring party enters the room.
It's like inside Brian?
I'm not in Brian's head, no.
Yeah, Sprocket's in there just doing some maintenance. but no, you hear, from your other ear, you hear Sprocket entering the room after a number of other people have sort of come in and slowly filled up this sort of little mess hall area where everyone will have some food.
So Sprocket just kind of toddles over. I want to do three things.
Three things, let's go.
I want to knock over a glass of water on a table, unscrew the lid from like one of those like diner salt shakers and just dump the salt into the puddle. And then sort of like after like one big like salt lick, I just want to start without like wordlessly just fixing Brian. Got me salt lick. Got something to fix.
Oh,
Sprocket's up. Good morning.
Oh, well.
Morning, Sprocket. It's a good thing you're here because, you know, it's awful noisy in there, Brian. It's like you've got an orchestra that doesn't want to keep up with a conductor.
Oh, well, that's very poetic, and I don't know most of those words, but yeah, no, that's what it kind of feels like. Feel that it's kind of a new. Anyway.
Ember, I just thought his armor come off. What's all this?
Brian, could you roll me an insight check on yourself, please? I'll give you advantage since you're trying to figure out yourself, right? You know yourself pretty well.
Do I? It's a 14.
With a 14, I'm going to say this is the first time that you've probably ever acknowledged your inner workings in any meaningful way. Like, you essentially just gained sentience and you've just been walking and or doing ever since. There's not been a moment where you have stopped, much like going to sleep. You've been on the whole time. You haven't powered down, and maybe even for a slight fear that you might not power back up again. And I think in this moment of acknowledging there's something inside you that makes you tick, quite literally, you do feel there is something missing. But with a 14, you don't quite know what.
You're just sort of looking down at Sprocket. It's like, all right, little Adonis, let me come to you. And he just like kneels down on the floor and there's my shoulder. Do you hear anything?
Well, let's find out.
It was awful noisy in there, Sprocket.
Do I? May I?
Yeah, go ahead and, I think this was the same question that we asked last episode. It's sort of like, what and how does your, sort of magic manifest? Like, I'm happy with if you want to do persuasion, if you want to do nature, if you want to do arcana, you can kind of tell me which one you think is like the most appropriate, and I'll give you advantage given the fact that Ember rolled a nat 20.
Great.
Sort of, and I feel like Ember of all people is like the most verbose in being able to actually eloquently explain, you know, what she had just heard.
I think arcana is lower than my persuasion, but I feel like persuasion is more for the doing of things and trying to influence them, whereas this is just me opening myself up to whatever's going on inside Brian's head.
Love it. Let's go.
An 18, dirty 21.
Ooh,
wonderful. So with that, a pretty high roll, you listen, and you recently saw inside of Brian's head. And there is something slightly odd. As you open the sort of panel on the side of Brian's head once again, and you look inside, and you see that strange kind of collection of like motherboard, this living metal, which almost looks like, the best way I describe Embrium is, it's that magnetic metal where you put, if you put a magnet near it, it sort of has that ooze-like quality to it. And there's little bits of moss and mold and things like that. Maybe some, like a half-eaten cheese burrito, which he probably crammed in there once, like trying to eat. For less something that Brian would. No, probably be a, like pizza or something.
Yeah. Thin slice.
And one thing that is remarkable, Sprocket, this living metal, there is less of it than you saw yesterday. Like a considerable amount, yeah, less. However, where there is less of it, it does appear to be replicating itself somehow. It is producing more of itself. And that is something that you have never heard Embrium do before.
Okay. I'm going to sort of very gently just close Brian's brain up. That's interesting.
What?
Well, bear with me. Did we all get hammered last night? Like, did I try and keep up with anyone bigger than me when drinking, which is to say basically anybody, or did we all, you know, did anyone give us something that we've not...
Oh, last thing I remember, Brian, we were downstairs, right? Like, we were just around the table or something.
Yeah, I remember I was sharing gum, and then you were,
Reason I ask is, and not to freak you out, Brian, but, and I'd relay what I know of the Embrium having been, you got less Embrium in your cranium, but what's there is making more of itself, which, as far as I'm aware, isn't possible, or at least has never been observed anywhere in known space, ever.
Oh, so, like, your brains don't do that?
No, I mean, I'm not that up on the paperwork and or nothing. This is all just, you know, this is my best guess, but I think you might now be a Galactic Heritage Site.
Okay.
Correct.
Hey, freaking A. Okay. I mean, can we monetize that in any kind of meaningful way? Or?
Well, hold on. But should Brian be concerned that that doesn't sound so great, losing your Embrium.
Truth be told, I don't know if I can be concerned. I get put on jobs and then I just kind of, you know, but I don't know. Some days I feel a little and he just like taps his sternum and I don't know, kind of like not quite with it whole. I don't know, you probably don't know what I'm talking about, but it's like that whole like I know that, like an emptiness, and I don't know, it comes and it goes, but I don't know, that's life, I guess. I don't know, I'm technically not living, so.
Brian, you sound as living as any other. I certainly know what that feels like.
Ah, you're just saying that, and he just kind of like throws his hand forward and his hand immediately just do onto the floor next to Sprocket.
Oh no, Brian, oh no.
They're playing my song. Start putting that back on.
Sprocket, you, if it's possible, you gain a point of happiness just seeing truly how much work there is to do on Brian. All it's right. Like Christmas for you.
Great. Point of happiness. Got it.
But no one remembers last night. I don't quite know how I got to bed.
Oh, I didn't. I got to a bed. Not my bed.
Oh, Sprocket.
And I can't sleep unless I'm in my bed.
What a night. Okay, congrats. I mean...
No. I mean, I sleep in a hammock. I sleep in an hammock. No, you don't need to be thinking about me like that. All carnal-like. No, I just mean I sleep in a hammock. It's clean hammocks. No, it's very nice. But it's the only place I can nod off. But apparently I slept on top of some other covers in a different bed. It was unoccupied.
I mean, it happens to the best of a Sprocket sometimes. You just...
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But it's odd because, you know, I'm not quite sure. I just don't remember getting in bed. But I sure woke up in one and...
Oh, yeah.
And Brian slept. And he said he doesn't normally do that.
What?
Apparently, yeah, I was on this, like, floating bed that was, like, above this other bed, and I came down, and there was, like, this, like, blue guy underneath me, Kez. I don't know if you know Kez, but, no, seems nice. Patch me back together. Brother of yours?
No.
Oh, okay, cool. I just figured, you know, Tinker is, I don't know, family business.
It's more of a sort of collegiate thing.
Oh, okay.
It is at this point that you hear, it was a loud clank, as a metal tray collides with the metal table that you are currently all sat at, as a large individual sort of lumbers, oh, you don't mind if I sit here, do you? As a big githyunk, a gif, not githyunky, gif, this hippo man, Hubert, with his little glasses sort of at the brim of his nose, and sort of slightly crouching down, just starts to eat a plate full of eggs and pumpkin. Eats a whole pumpkin. It was a video I saw of a hippo eating a pumpkin, so that's what Hubert's doing.
Hey, Hubert.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
Are you feeling all right? You look...
Am I feeling okay?
You fully passed out in front of us last night.
What do you mean? Passed out in front of me?
You were, like, leaking oil from your nose, and I took the gum away from you immediately as soon as I saw it happen.
Oh, do you mean when I got the migraine? Yes, the other day.
Last night?
Yesterday.
No, that wasn't yesterday, was it? No.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not again. This is all confusing. I don't...
No. That was about 3 days ago, I would have thought.
Can we check to see if he's still got, like, crusted blood around his nostrils?
He doesn't.
Oh. Yeah, can I do a little inside check on him?
Yeah, go ahead and do an inside check.
Like, is he... I guess, to his knowledge, being truthful with us.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 12.
Seems like he's been pretty honest, yeah. He has no real reason to lie.
Well, Hubert, have I been sleeping for 3 days?
No, you've been up and about and helping with official duties and...
Oh, yeah, what kind of stuff have I been doing? Name some normal stuff I do.
Normal stuff, helping move items from one place to another because you're strong.
Oh yeah, that sounds right.
And you see, his sort of eye starts to twitch a little bit. That's weird. Ooh, as his nose just slowly begins to bleed again.
Oh no.
You know, it is funny, actually. I don't feel like I... Ooh. Anyway.
I'm going to pull his plate of eggs and pumpkin back in case he...
Weird. That is odd. No, it's just a couple of days ago, I remember, sort of having the same sort of feeling of as though, you know, I was feeling things sort of slightly differently. Can everyone go ahead and roll me a perception check, please?
11.
13.
12.
As you look around, you do actually see there is one other person who also has a bleeding nose. You recognize this to be Jax. He's currently carving a little, kind of whittling a little piece of wood. All you know is that Jax has been aboard the Silverhawk for a long time. Like he's been around for a while, but he seems relatively unfazed by it. And Hubert goes, it is weird. People have been acting a little strangely.
How so?
Just not remembering sort of basic conversations or this was very weird. Darla came up to me and was utterly convinced we were only a week away from Sim. You know, even though we're like 3 weeks away minimum, maybe even closer to four, honestly, if we don't get the right currents. Maybe you could just go do a little whip around. I spoke to the doctor after my migraine and they said it was just a migraine and there was nothing to worry about. But maybe a little whip around by all of us wouldn't be a bad thing, because you seem a little more clear-headed, perhaps, than I do this morning.
So clear, so much space in there, apparently.
Yes, I remember you. Very, very eloquent, smart little robot, yes.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's an explanation to all of this. Maybe we all just had a great old party, you know. Drank one too many, had a good time, had a little hoedown.
I would never allow that to happen on this ship. No, certainly not. Everyone get drunk at the same time, that would be preposterous. No, we are divided on this ship into four groups, each group is allowed to party group is allowed to party at one time. And he sort of leans in. And between you and me, I actually purposefully group people together who I know don't really get along, so to not encourage them to drink as much when they are partying.
Wow.
Yes, it's quite effective, actually.
Yeah, sounds great. Well done.
Thank you. I appreciate someone else who takes my work as seriously as I do. Thank you.
Yeah. One quick question.
Mm-hmm.
I do work on this ship, don't I?
Yes, you're here, aren't you?
Like, this is the one I got on, and this is the one I signed up for, and I work on it.
Yes, you signed up 3 days ago when...
Right. Okay.
When the,
Yes. All right. I thought so. Because I'm here. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Sprocket, I'm not even going to make you roll for this. You have a sudden realization that you never actually had a conversation. You do not recall having a conversation with Hubert about coming aboard the ship. The first thing you remember is going in to fix that tree.
Huh.
Ember.
Mm-hmm.
Can you roll me an insight check, please, on yourself?
Okay. 25?
Ember, as you hear this conversation backwards and forwards, you also don't remember actually having an initial conversation with Hubert and boarding the ship. You were just here. Some people wanted line dancing lessons. You taught them. But the thing is, what's weird for both of you in this instance, it's not like, oh, I don't know how I got here, I'm very confused. You feel very clear-headed, like you know why you're here. It's as though the conversation happened, but you just don't have memory of the conversation happening.
Someone's messing with us. Fellas, we gotta get to the bottom of this. Something is afoot.
Don't look at me, I got hooves.
Something is a hoof. Brian, you got feet?
Oh shit, no, one over there. Okay. And just hobbles over to the other side of the table.
Would someone please weld him together? I keep finding pieces of him all over the ship.
On it!
Thank you.
So, you seem pretty much, and leaning into Ember as Sprocket is just going at his ankle, you seem kind of like the smartest person here.
Oh, I don't know what made you think that.
Well, no, you seem with it in a way that, and he looks down at his ankle again and the little hoof man, and some of us...
Welding song, welding song. Everyone sing the welding song.
My answer's going to hate you. He's going to do another one.
I'm not learned like Sprocket here, who's clearly, you know, knows what he's doing. I just watch people, that's all.
Right. So, in that case, what do you see?
Well, I think someone has maybe taken something from us.
Right, like a thing, or what do you mean?
I think someone's taken taking some memories from us. I mean, Brian, do you remember how you got here? Because, I mean, I remember how you got here, sort of.
Oh, I don't got a lot of memories to draw from once I have it pretty fresh. But, I'm sort of thinking back. What does Brian remember?
Brian, your memory feels perfectly intact, to the point where you can recall almost like frame by frame, as if you're rewinding back an old VHS tape, the events of you being on the outside of the ship, this strange explosion, the weird anomalies that went on, you kind of flying off of the ship, bumping into Lucien, getting aboard Bugsley, landing on the ship, and being fixed by the folks on the ship.
But everything before that is a little bit more in and out.
You don't feel like there's anything kind of out of the ordinary for you, is what I sort of, you know, would say. Anything pre the embryum, that's all completely lost to the atoms of time, right? But you having been made sentient, like from that point, your memory is sort of as it's always been in this moment. It's not like with these two where it feels sort of oddly tampered with.
Well, I remember pretty much, I mean, it's pretty much what the little disembodied head thing, and I said, you know,
Oh.
Oh?
The head. He's not at my hip, presumably, Lucien.
The head is not at your hip, no.
Where's Lucien?
Last I saw, he was with you, and,
Wait, Brian, you remember everything?
Yeah, no, I remember everything. I got a great memory, like I said. Well, anyway, no, but like, I remember you had the head. I remember we came and your hand was glowing, like the sort of cracked.
Yeah, cracked. That's still the same. I don't know how I feel about that.
Sure, and I mean, Sprocket, I don't know where you were, but that is the last I remember, though. But I do remember it very clearly, though, I have to say.
Okay, well, Sprocket, what do you remember? You also feel fine? Is it just me having this gap?
Oh, no, I don't. I can't say I feel great. I remember coming, well, I don't remember coming to, I just remember, you know, like when a dream starts and you're already there?
Yeah.
It was like that, but I was up the tree, and, well, there was something in the hollow that shouldn't have been, and when I tried to remove it, woof, I mean, it's, for one thing, it winked at me. Now, I wasn't interested, but,
I don't.
I am single. I'm just waiting for the right person. But what I mean is, look, I just got this weird. It was like there was no reason for me to be there, or there was no reason for me to have been there when I was hired. Even though when I was hired, there was reason for me to be there. Does that make sense?
No, but you know, you can keep going.
Yeah, and we accept you. Yeah. You know,
I mean,
Sprocket.
Yeah.
You reckon that if you had the right tools, you might actually be able to bring up some of Brian's memory.
Ooh, okay.
As in literally see back the, like, last, you know, whatever he's got on the sort of data banks, essentially.
I think what we need here is almost like an objective observer, someone to... Who can show us really what we've been doing, Brian? Can I ever play around in your head again? secondary question: do you still want the pizza in there, or?
And he just sort of like scratching around at his metal head. Just
What did he?
Okay, yeah. No.
So close to the motherboard, like truly so close to just like completely like making himself brain dead, like.
Yeah, sure, have a poke around, but, you know, buy a guy a pan first. But, yeah, no, sure, I'm, here you go.
Sprocket, you want me to hold you up?
yeah.
Okay, here, come into my arms.
Hmm?
Come into my arms?
Oh, right, sorry, I thought... Yeah, okay. I walk into Emma's arms.
And up you go.
Woo.
To Brian's head.
They are just as warm and welcoming as you'd imagine, Sprocket.
Oh, right. Okay, here we go. I'll just pop the lid here.
Go ahead and make me an Arcana check.
All righty. Roll a 10.
You have a reach in, and you find on the motherboard there is a little socket that you can plug into and bring up on that little sort of tablet device that you have.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of flickers into life, and you see sort of a frozen image of you being held by Ember, and you sort of get that, oh, this is the last thing that Brian has seen, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you're paused on a sort of frame.
Yeah.
And you can choose to sort of rewind from there as you see fit.
Yeah, okay, so quick screenshot and then I'll rewind.
you can have inspiration for that one.
Yes!
Roll me sleight of hand to see if Emma notices you taking the screenshot. As you do as you hold the lock button and volume down.
That's a nat 20, baby!
Yes. It's so subtle. Emma wouldn't know what a screenshot looked like even if she was looking directly at it. It doesn't matter. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast. If you'd like to hear more, please check out the Rotating Heroes Patreon. This episode was produced by 12 Sided Studios. Producers are me, Jasper William Cartwright, Jess Jewell, and Chad Pytel. Our social media manager is Ellie Crook, and the episodes are edited and sound designed by the wonderful Oliver Moore.
And your cast for this arc is Josephine McAdam, Johnny Chiodini, and Edward Spence. And me, your GM. Thank you so much for listening, everyone.